Thank you, Mexico missions team, for going, representing us to another country to go and do the work of God that He called in us. How exciting it was to hear last week how they went and cared for this family here. This is them in front of their old house. And our team, along with another Fellowship Baptist Church in Langley, built a new house for them. Wow. That was a huge part of what God was calling us to do. Another huge part was to learn the lessons that God wanted to speak to us. So we're going to hear in a little while about what God was speaking to some of our Mexico missions team. Now, some are off serving at camp, and some are off doing different things, and some are ill. So whoever's kind of here this morning will come and be willing to share from our Mexico missions team. And we look forward to hearing from that. And just in thinking about this family that's been waiting for this house for approximately 8 years, I want you to turn to the person next to you and reflect on this question. How much is enough for what this family needs? How much is enough? How do you think this family would answer that question? How much is enough for what we need? So turn to the person next to you, 30 seconds each, go. All right, pull it back in here. It's interesting when thinking about someone else versus thinking about ourselves, right? Because you feel a little bit more objective than in our own life situation. If I was to ask you how much would be enough, what would you say? In thinking about your retirement and making it through all those years where you don't work, how much is enough? Is $1 million enough? I know somebody's told me that. In your future, you're going to need that. Is that enough? How much is enough? How about just paying off your whole mortgage? Is that enough for you? How much is enough? How about just owning a home to start with? Is that enough? What about paying off your student loans? Forget a house, paying off your student loans. Or even having enough money to afford school. Would that be enough? How about, forget school, like I just want to have some good experiences and with friends. Like, would that be enough? Or how about just paying the bills, just being able to afford your regular monthly life, would that be enough? How much is enough? What we tend to do in life is wherever we're at, we tend to look at the next rung on the ladder. You know, you're going up a ladder, well, how do I get to the next step? That's what we tend to think. Some of us are uber planners, which can also be uber worriers. And we tend to think, how do I get to the top of the ladder right now? And we get overwhelmed because we're thinking about all that has to happen in that moment. If you're like me, you like to have a little mini freak out. And we think about those things. And this is part of where we're at. But in thinking about how much is enough, I think that we don't tend to ask this question directly. But we tend to think about it indirectly because we worry, don't we? We worry if we're going to have enough, or if our kids are going to have enough. We're very goals-driven, and we're thinking about these things and going to answer this question. Wouldn't it be nice if we didn't have to worry about these things? Wouldn't it be nice if our credit card bills were a little bit smaller because we didn't go and have to get as much stuff as we think we need, but we don't really? Wouldn't it be nice if we had this sense of peace that just permeated our life, where we could live peace-filled, Christ-centered, on mission for God lives? Wouldn't that be amazing? Well, I think God wants to speak into our hearts and lives about these things. And we turn to Him, the giver of life, the God of abundance, the God who's created us, the God who says He provides for us, who sustains our being. We turn to Him and His written word. Let's give these things to Him in prayer. Father, you know where we're coming from. You know what we feel our needs are right now and what we're asking from you right now, what our worries are, even what our goals are. We come to here gathering with a sense of a need of your presence. We recognize you're here whether we feel you or not, and we pray that you'll be guiding us in a life of faithfulness, a life of following you. Thank you so much for all the different ways that you have provided for us. We remember where you have brought us and what you are doing. And we just turn to you in this day. In Jesus' name, amen. So, to quote Maxwell Smart, would you believe that God has a passage that directly answers this question? We're in this Get Smart series, and we're seeking God's wisdom to get smart for our lives. So wouldn't it be great to get smart in thinking about our needs? Well, there's this passage in Proverbs 30 that I think many of us have probably not thought too much about, that I think have some profound truths that God wants to speak into our lives this morning. So let's turn to Proverbs 30. We're going to focus on verses 7 to 9, the prayer of a guru. But we're going to look at the first six verses first, because it's kind of a unit, and it gives us some pretext for thinking about it. So if you have your Bibles here, turn to Proverbs 30, verses 1 to 9. And if you don't have it, we've got it on the PowerPoint here. So we don't know much about Agur, son of Jakeh, but we do have words from him. So let's read them as they've been collected in God's holy word. They are God's words for us. The sayings of Agur, son of Jakeh, and I'll be reading from the NIV version. An inspired utterance. This man's utterance to Ithiel, I am weary, God, but I can prevail. Surely I am only a brute, not a man. I don't have human understanding. I have not learned wisdom, nor have I attained to the knowledge of the Holy One. Who has gone up to heaven and come down? Whose hands have gathered up the wind? Who has wrapped up the waters in a cloak? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is the name of his son? Surely you know. Every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his words, or he will rebuke you and prove you a liar. So before we get into the prayer, we're just going to stop here, because God's word gives us perspective for our lives. How true is it that it's hard to have perspective to where you're in right now? Isn't it so true that over years, you gain perspective of what was going on? It's like, oh, they say hindsight is 20/20. And yet, it's also true we're still, the story isn't complete. To quote Lord of the Rings, you know, you don't know how the story ends yet, right? So we turn to God, who has all perspective for things. So first thing we see is that our humble human condition. So let's, do your thoughts recognize your humble position in life? Agur gives us some wisdom. It's interesting. He calls himself a brute. I have no human understanding. Why are we listening to this guy? This guy's quoted, and yet if you actually look at Proverbs 30, there's some pretty wise things here. And yet, we recognize our humble position in life, which is contrary to being proud, isn't it? And when we're proud, we think we're in charge. And yet, humility recognizes how much we're not in charge of. To quote the famous preacher, Charles Spurgeon, humility is having a proper estimate of oneself. That's often difficult to get a proper estimate of ourselves, isn't it? That's the first thing we see. Second thing in this is we recognize God's glorious position in life. There's these questions of God's glory. Who am I compared to the Holy One? How much do I really know? It's perspective, isn't it? I'm not all-knowing. This reminds us of, there's Isaiah 40, 10 to 12, very similar passage, reflecting on who am I? You think about Job, there's these inspired pieces reflecting on how much do I really know in perspective to God. So there's some background in giving us perspective in thinking about life in order to basically understand our needs a little bit better. So there's perspective. We look at his word, verse 5, every word of God is flawless. And we turn to him, what is his name? What is the name of his son? How interesting to see this written 1,000 years before Jesus came. and we know the name of his son. Let's keep going here. We're going to read the prayer of Agur. So here's perspective, and then he asks God for two things. Two things I ask of you, Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who's the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of God. Just as I've been sitting under this text, there's this theme that keeps coming out over and over again. That's an answer to our question, how much is enough? Here's really the essence of this, is that all I need is enough to honor God. That's all I need. All I need is enough to honor God. Isn't that true? Isn't that the core essence of what life's about, giving glory to God? That's properly estimating ourselves that actually, no, life doesn't revolve around me. It's crazy. But I've begun to realize that life's about honoring God. It's not about me getting the glory. So all I need really is enough to honor God. How amazing to think about. It's perspective, something we frequently lose sight of. Perspective is looking at things from where we're at, and then we get God's perspective. All I need is enough to honor God. So let's look a little bit closer at these two prayers, two things that Agur asks in his prayer. First one, keep me from being deceived about how much I need. Keep me from being deceived about how much I need. Second one, give me neither poverty nor riches. These are his two prayers. Keep me from being deceived about how much I need. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Let's look at the first one about being deceived about how much I need. We're going to look at this first one. Verse 8, keep falsehood and lies far from me. So this is a bit confusing looking at this. Are we talking about lying or are we talking about money? What are we talking about here? Because there's one line, keep falsehood and lies far from me, and then there's like six lines about how much we need. Now, we usually are speaking from a New Living Translation. So what we have is we have English translations of what was originally written in Hebrew. It can be a little bit confusing because they're slightly different, but the heart of all the translations is the same thing. The only difference is some versions are more exact, literal. If you think about it, like they're trying to get the same kind of words as were said in Hebrew. But it's a different language, so it can be kind of wooden. You know, it may not be exactly how we talk now. So some translations will go a lot more with like, this is how we speak. So it's the readability is high. And the heart of them is still the same. So if you ever have this question, well, what's with all the different versions? Same thing, but they're going with just like a classic that's being interpreted. It's like there's this issues of readability and exactness. So I just want to bring up verse 8 here, because sometimes we get stuck in going, what's this about? So it's very helpful to actually look at different translations side by side to really get at what's going on, because sometimes it's a little unclear. So our New Living Translation, which we regularly use, because it's high in readability, so if someone's unfamiliar with the Bible, we want it to be easily understood, so we're going with that one. But this morning, we're going with the New International Version, the NIV, because they've actually become so readable that I think it's a little bit off. It says, help me never to tell a lie. But it's really disconnected. Really, it's keep falsehood and lies far from me, and it relates to money. And let's unpack that a little bit, because money tricks us. Money deceives us. Do you know this? Let's reflect on these lies of money. So first thing, as you see in the next verses, is that money, the lie wealth tells us, is that God is not necessary. God isn't necessary. May I not have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? What's your prayer life like when things are all provided for, when things are cruising along? How desperately are you relying on God? I had a lunch with one of our wonderful South African doctors. We're so thankful for their ministry to this town. And he was kind of, his heart was hurting because he's like, I just long for the people of this town to know Jesus, to rely on God. And my experience here, unlike my experience growing up in South Africa, is that people here don't need God. They don't need God, so they're not relying on him. I thought that was so profound. And isn't that, and there's so many statistics that show when people have come to North America as immigrants, there's a high percentage of faith in God. And then as people, as families grow in wealth, and as generations are here, we become more and more secularized. And that is what's true. That's what this passage is saying. When our help me not have so much that I forget who God is, that it's God who provides for my needs. This is a lie that wealth tells us, that I provide for myself. Look what I've done, isn't it? But there's also the other extreme of poverty. Let's look at that. The lie poverty tells us is that God is of no help to us. God is of no help to us. God can't help me. Obviously, I have to take care of myself. So whatever position we're in, here's the lie, is that you have to take care of yourself, that it's not God who provides. God, as I'm so encouraged by this Mexico missions team. If we didn't have people who were listening to God, stepping up and saying, yes, Lord, I will go, we would not have met this family. We would not be impacted by sharing with them. And isn't it interesting? God heard their prayers. He didn't respond right away. In fact, they had to wait 8 years for a new house. And in fact, God had to stir these people thousands of miles away in the Cariboo interior of British Columbia to come and do something. And he provided for this family. Got another story this week. As we were doing the same thing, Lord, use us as so many people through the Cariboo have been affected by fires. How do you want us to respond? I have no idea how many pounds of fruit we bought last week. Travis, do you have any idea how many pounds of fruit we bought last week? 3,000 pounds of fruit we bought to go feed at the soup kitchen to help out, to go feed the firefighters to help them out in Williams Lake, to feed evacuees on Sunday. It was so cool to be a part of that. We were just like, okay, Lord, it's not busy work, but when you say go, we're ready to go. And he said go last week. And we had a lot of fruit actually left over from our evacuees night in which we partnered with the city. So Monday morning is not typically when a preacher or pastor has their best energy. And that was me Monday. And it was like, oh, there's a bunch of fruit. Okay, I got to go do something about this. We don't want it to go to waste. And we've been partnering with the Salvation Army. We're excited about the work they're doing. And I went there and the door was locked and it was Monday. And I was like, oh yeah, they don't serve the community on Mondays. And then I left a call with Elaine with the Salvation Army. And then I went, well, okay, Season's House, I'll go there. And it was like I was giving them gold, people. Fresh fruit. They were like, we don't get that. We had tons of cherries and mouth-watering strawberries and cut-up watermelon. And they were so thankful. God was providing for their needs to show that it is a lie that God does not care for them. It was really interesting. There was a God moment. He really got my attention because as they're encountering the blessings of God, we still had another 13 watermelons in a different truck. And I went to offer them, and God showed up, and I got a call at the exact moment from Elaine from the Salvation Army, and she said, hey, we can use those. So God took me and my grumpiness and where I was at, and he doubled the blessing. He provided for both groups at just the right time, and that's what he does. It is a lie that God will not help us, and these stories help us know that it's God who's the provider of our needs. It's not us. All we need is enough to honor God. That's all we need. So we can join in the prayer of a Gur. We're given language for our prayers. Lord, keep me from being deceived by money that my needs won't be provided for. God, give me neither poverty nor riches. I don't know about your prayer life, but mine has not been, Lord, give me not riches or poverty. What's the natural inclination? The richest, one of the richest men in the world was asked this, how much is enough? Do you know what he said? Just a little bit more, just a little bit more. What's that tell you? How satisfying is money if you get as much as that and it's still not enough? Do you know who is enough? God. And to honor him is enough. And in him who is enough, we find enough for us. That being his child, his son or daughter, becomes enough. So then our needs, how we look at our needs, we're given perspective. I don't, in the end, need $1 million to provide for all my needs. In fact, that may be the worst thing for me, because then I won't be relying on God. Lord, give me neither riches nor poverty, because it's all about honoring you. One last story before I bring up the Mexico missions team. I was visiting someone in our midst dealing with cancer in what is perhaps a scariest moment in life. And I asked her, are you scared? And sure, there's some scariness to it, but she had such a peace. She had such a peace. And she asked me to read from the New Testament. She asked me to read Jesus' words. Jesus told us, Matthew 6, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Why do you worry about your clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So don't worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? People of this world run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. Here's the thing. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. All I need is enough to honor God. That's it. Mexico missions team. Anyone here, anyone who's strong enough to come up here and stand and share, come on up, please. We'd love to hear a little bit from you. I'm going to grab this microphone over here, Richard. Anybody else willing to come up from the Mexico missions team? I think we're missing a few. Gene, come on up. Mexico, we got a representative here. Really, two questions in my mind are, what was something that impacted you in this experience that God was speaking to you about? And the second was, how would you answer how much is enough for this family?
I wasn't expecting to be up here alone. no pressure. I really enjoyed the missions trip that we went on going to Mexico. And I wrote down a few things that sort of really impressed me. Dylan, come on up. Yes. Don't leave me here alone.
All right. Hey, they're coming out of everywhere.
Oh,
all right.
There you go.
Yeah.
What's that? No. So a few things that impressed me were, first of all, was the needs of the people, of the poor that were there. They were just, it was really stark between those that were wealthy and those that were poor. And they gave us some information. They said that a lot of these people that we were helping, they have no record of their birth with the country. And so they have no, they're effectively a non-person. They have no rights. They have no citizenship. They can apply for it. It's a very tough process because they weren't born in a hospital and nobody has any records. And so these kids aren't entitled to go to school. They aren't entitled to the medical care and things like that. And so I noticed that when we were there, the kids were just, they weren't going to school. They were just playing around. And they said they're ripe for these gangs that form, that they'll bring them in and they'll get involved in drugs and all sorts of trouble. And so that's one of the things that they want to do, is to provide opportunities for these kids. And one of the things is through soccer camps. They want to get soccer teams for these kids and get them involved and teach them about Jesus, the same way that we're doing here with a soccer camp here, but they want to do that down there. But the great needs that of the poor people that were there, it was everywhere. One thing that Wes, our former youth pastor here, mentioned, he says, we're not going just to build a house, but we're going to share the love of Jesus. And I was impressed. One thing that really struck me is one of the first things we did is we went to, before we even went to where we were staying, we drove to the house that this team had built the year before, just to see what was going on. And we went up there, and the family came out. And what really struck me was this one young girl had, she recognized one of our team members from the year before, and she let out this scream of delight, and she ran and she hugged her, and they were just overjoyed to see them. And to me, that was just like, it's got to be more than just going there to build a house, but to develop relationships with these people and to draw them to Christ, to show them that we are doing this because we love them and because we want them to know Christ. And I was also impressed with the number of ordinary Canadians from Alberta, from BC, from all over the place that are going down there and helping, and in helping build a house, helping to build schools, helping abused women in the shelters, helping in medical needs, and helping in orphanages and stuff like that. It's just people are giving up a short term, a week or so. Some are going long term. There's young people and old people. That really impressed me.
Hmm. Can you share with us the names of the family? Maybe the family name. I'm not sure how much you caught all this.
I know. I think the mother's name was Inez.
Inez.
I don't know the last name.
Okay.
And there's a picture of there, a little boy that sort of grabbed my heart. He's in that picture there. I think his name was Ayaz or something like that. And that's another thing that impressed me was, you know, the people that it's, you know, you can hear about the needs in countries far off, and it's kind of vague and fuzzy. And you get down there, and so I met this little boy, and I've been praying for him. He's just really touched my heart to see that girl that connected with the team member. And this team member now wants to go and spend her life down in Mexico and meeting needs and stuff like that. And it's just, God loves people. He loves them by name. He knows who they are. Yeah. So that really changed it for me. You know, like, oh, Mexico has needs. That's sort of vague, but to know the names of people and what's going on in their life and what their individual needs are is really touching.
Thank you, Gene.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
What a friend, eh?
Thanks, Dylan. Okay, well, I just got back from Nest Lake Bible Camp, and it took me some time to, like, think about the two questions. And, I think what impacted me was the amount of joy we served to this family, and how much we appreciate, like, when we finished, and the amount of like pride of how blessed they are, and it really touched with like the seeing those children and I like playing soccer with them and like hanging out. It reminds me of like my little brother over there, like when he was young and when, you know, I love being a big brother. I just love entertaining people and like brightening up their day. And I think it was good for me to come to this missions trip. Originally, I was supposed to serve to Nest Lake and be an LIT, but I think doing a missions trip was actually like one of the most touching and astounding idea that I ever did. My grandma gave me the idea, so thank you, Grandma.
Thanks, Grandma.
She's in Nicaragua right now, and all about like all the like enough that you need for to honor God and stuff is like the love and like yeah, just love and pretty much a lot of faith and hope to like we can like do anything and like we can build stronger and huge relationships like around the world. Wherever you are or whatever you're doing, you can just like stand up and just share the love of God, and that's what I sometimes do like every single day, and like mostly my whole life I just build huge relationships and like, and God said treat others the way you want to be treated, and I've been doing that ever since like when I was young. I was just such a fun time, love to hang out and just brighten people's day up with some joy and pride.
Thanks, Adrian. Thank you. Oh, he is going to share.
Thanks, buddy. All right. Okay, first of all, do you know how hot it is up on the stage? I think our pastor deserves a big round of applause.
I don't have hair, Dylan. It's not as hot.
It's not the hair.
Yeah.
I shaved this morning.
My hands are sweating. Okay.
You got real hair, that's right. Yeah. Got it, yeah.
First of all, I think the thing that impacted me the most is, well, what did we come down to this trip to do? We came to build a house. We could have just sent money, you know? I mean, the money we spend on plane tickets and everything, that all our food and stuff. What?
I'm rolling with you, Dylan. Just go for it.
Okay. For all the money we spent, we could have had, I don't know, a bigger house or whatever, two houses maybe. We could have just done that. But it's for the experience, and it's for the children that are there. We're the cool people. You know, we're the Canadians. We're like, dude, those Canadians are cool, and. So when we go down there, we teach the kids, we can have an impact on their lives because they're never going to forget us. I mean, seriously, if Justin Bieber showed up at your door, you'd never forget it. So that's what it's like for them. And teaching them things, they were helping us paint on the house. They were that we were playing soccer with them. I tried to teach them hockey, but, you know. Didn't work, but so we're teaching them stuff and we're playing with them, and we're just impacting their lives, and that I think that's important. That's what impacted me is the kids, the way we're interacting with them, and the way we're doing our job as the rich people of this world. And
that's good. No, I think that's good. So, you guys. Oh, Gene, yeah. You got a final word for us, Gene?
Well, you asked how much was enough. And, yeah. You know, I was thinking about this family, probably to Inez, it's just to make sure that they have enough food for tomorrow and clothes to wear, you know, that just day by day. I went in to where they were living before, just a dirt floor and a tarp over top, and very simple. And yet, when we finished the house, she wanted to say thank you, and she prepared a meal for us, for all 23 of us. And they said that it would cost her probably about a week's wages for what she did. And on the one hand, you want to say, well, don't, you know, keep your money, but she was so grateful, and so she provided for us. So even in her poverty, even with the little that she had. She wanted to say thank you, and she just gave whatever she had so that we could have a really good lunch, and it was a good lunch. Mm. So, you know, that impressed me too, just the generosity.
Thank you, guys. These are real life stories of what it's like to be a part of God's work. And as we reflect on how much is enough, we recognize that money makes promises that money can't keep. It can't make us happy. It can't fulfill us. It's never enough. And this is where we encounter God, who is enough.